Well, happy Monday and good evening. Thank you for tuning in for another edition of Crunch Time, presented by Geppers Liberty Tax in Lartsburg and Harrison. See them this tax season, and you can get $50 cash now with paid tax preparation, and also they have the easy advance loan there as well. If you don't want to wait for those tax returns to come in, $500 up to $6,250 if approved. So see our friends at Geppers Liberty Tax in Lartsburg and Harrison. I'm Double T Travis there alongside JB John Blackwell in the house tonight for Crunch Time, 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation. You've been a busy man this time of year, obviously, but thanks for joining me tonight.
Back in the house. Great to be back. I know you officially dropped my name from the show, which I was...
Well, I dropped mine, too.
Well, so. I know that, but I was fully on board with that. I told you I'd be hit and miss during basketball season, and I have not been here for a few weeks, but... have listened to every show and helped line you up with some great guests.
Absolutely.
And you and all the guests have done a great job here in the stretch run of hoops season. So yeah, not quite as busy today with no school, and practice has been over for several hours. So great to be back with you. Let's get it rolling.
Yeah, and we do want to thank all those teams, players, coaches that have been out the past few weeks. And, well, pretty much any time they come out for Crunch Time, it's always fun doing that. So I appreciate you setting up those guests. But one of the big things for me over the weekend, I don't know how much everybody else in Eagle Country paid attention to it, but the NBA All-Star Weekend is always one that I'm very fond of. And NBA All-Star Weekend is coming to the state of Indiana next year as the Pacers will be the host team. But I thoroughly enjoyed this NBA All-Star Weekend. I don't know what your thoughts were. We'll get into the format of the game because I thought it was fantastic last night.
Well, we can get into that. Let's start there. I thought it was awesome as well. I thought it was awesome. I mean, I guess I love the NBA All-Star Weekend too, and I love the NBA, as you know, but I guess I'm kind of, you know, getting older and, you know, back in the day, they used to play harder in the All-Star games.
Yeah.
So, like, the players that I coach don't know what the All-Star games were like in the 80s and 90s, just like we don't know what they were like in the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. But the rules or the format that they put in were terrific last night. If you don't know what we're talking about, they basically reset the score after each quarter but kind of kept a cumulative score going. And then in the fourth quarter, the clock got turned off and they had the target score of 24, add 24 to the team that was winning. Mm. And it was terrific. The fourth quarter of the All-Star game was go ahead, Travis. I know you want to talk about it. It was really neat.
One of the things I want to add is they had two charities for both teams, LeBron and Giannis. Those teams got to choose their charities. And after each quarter, the winning team donated $100,000 to said charity. So you have all these young kids in the crowd that are going to stand to benefit from all this money, and they're really hyped up and fired up about, you know, their team winning each quarter. LeBron's team wins quarter one, and then you see Giannis's team pick it up a little bit in quarter two. Quarter three, they tied, so that $100,000 got lumped into the $200,000 for the fourth quarter, and as you mentioned, they really ramped it up in the fourth quarter. They picked their best five, and that's the hardest I've seen players play in the All-Star game in, I don't know, what, 15, 20 years maybe?
It was terrific. I mean, you had block shots at the rim and challenges and reviews. And
A charge,
yeah. If you just watched the – what about James Harden passing up what would have been a game-winning layup? His team ended up winning anyway. But if you only watched the first quarter kind of felt like same old, same old, no defense, lob fest. But then it's like you said, in the second quarter, you felt the team that didn't win in the first quarter say – we have to keep this thing within striking distance of the fourth. So if somebody only watched the first 6 or 8 minutes and changed the channel or went to bed, I could see where they're saying same old, same old. But as it got deeper and deeper, it got better and better. And it was terrific. And then, of course, you know, Kawhi Leonard, the deserving MVP, I think he finished 8 for 14 behind the arc. At one point, he was 7 for 10.
He was on fire
before he finished 8 for 14. And then you had the Kobe Bryant, you know, the aura of Kobe, you know, hanging over. If you watch the intros, the city of Chicago, or, you know, the Bulls organization,
right,
whoever was responsible for all that, did a terrific job with the stuff leading up to it. And it was just really, it was good. It was the best NBA All-Star game in a long, long time. And the night before wasn't bad either.
I would say that they could alter the format a little bit. The game did end on a free throw. It's the Elam ending is basically what they went with. If you watch the basketball tournament with some of the former college stars over the summer, that's been a whole lot of fun. But having a game end on a free throw isn't always the funnest way. So if they could somehow find a way to make it end on a field goal, it would even increase the popularity of this format even more, in my opinion. But yeah, the Saturday night was fun too. They altered the 3-point shooting contest, added in a couple of deeper threes worth more points. I thought that was a great addition. And a slam dunk contest was, it was pretty good, even though it was marred with some controversy at the end.
It was marred with some controversy. I don't love, we'll talk about the dunk contest in a minute. I don't love the skills competition. I never really, I don't dislike it, but I'm kind of old fashioned. Give me the dunk contest and give me the 3-point contest. Mm-hmm. But I don't love the skills competition, but the slam dunk contest was terrific. I mean, there were some high level dunks. The controversy, I don't know that I totally followed it. So Derrick Jones Jr. wins and defeats Aaron Gordon by a point. Both of them had some incredible dunks. If you're a listener and didn't see it, it's worth the Google search.
YouTube video.
This is the radio, so we can't show it. We can't show them to you. But then what happened, Travis? A judge said that they screwed up and it was supposed to be a tie? Is that,
I think I follow that right? Yeah, and they talked about it throughout the broadcast too, because they just kept going to dunk off after dunk off, and each player would get a 50, which is the highest score you can get, over and over again. And then, you know, you have Aaron Gordon jumping over a man that's 7'6", and you think that's going to give him the win, and they could have done it a lot different.
Aaron Gordon jumped over Taco Fall, who's 7'6", and they didn't give,
fans will know him.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't give him a perfect score because he nipped the top of his head. Did we mention he's 7'6"? This was not Spud Webb that he was clearing out there. And for me, and everybody, obviously, you know, as an undergrad, I was a student manager for the Notre Dame basketball program. So seeing Pat Connaughton in there was really, really neat. And his tribute to the movie,
White Man Can't Jump,
at the beginning of the dunk contest, the hat he came out in, and was really good. And he definitely was not deserving of the championship, but certainly represented himself really well.
Yeah, a couple of my takeaways, then we'll move on. I wish that when they went to the dunk-off system there at the end, instead of scoring the dunks, they should have just got together as the judges and picked which one they liked better and named a winner. Maybe they did that anyways with the scores, but I think it might have come across better on the broadcast if they would have just said, your dunk was better, we pick you to win. And next year, which we all are thinking Zion Williamson is going to participate in the slam dunk contest in Indianapolis, that'll be worth the price of admission. But I'm hoping to see all four dunkers get four dunks. Instead of going to from 4-2 and go to a finals type scenario, give all four guys four dunks and score them all. Total point winner gets the trophy.
I would be okay with that. And yes, listeners, it's NBA All-Star Weekend is in Indianapolis next year. And the sports fan bucket list in me really would want to be there, but I certainly don't have any sort of connections for those tickets. And I won't lie, Travis, I looked at the prices on StubHub for the NBA All-Star game. Now, I know Chicago may bring a little steeper ticket, but there were very few seats being sold for less than four digits on StubHub. So that
that might deter
out of my price range.
I would love to go. I was talking to Happy Jack off air earlier this afternoon about said All-Star game in Indianapolis. It would be incredible to see that many high-profile NBA guys playing
in one
place and playing harder under a new format. So might not happen financially, but
I understand. I'm with you, Travis. I understand the cons, and they don't play hard, and the game doesn't mean anything. But just seeing that much talent and athleticism in a sport that we love, you and I both love, on the same floor would be, you know, once in a lifetime. So I'm not going to rule it out. So any Indianapolis area crunch time listeners, maybe we could get a media pass, Travis.
Let's
apply for a media pass.
we'll see if that goes through or not. Speaking of Indianapolis, I do want to touch on one or two football notes. You're a known Colts fan, and obviously maybe a little bit of a transition right now with the team in terms of their quarterback play. It does look like they want to move on from Jacoby Brissett. He was kind of a placeholder there, middle-of-the-road type guy. The rumor out there has been that Phillip Rivers is a target, so just asking a Colts fan, would you rather have Phillip Rivers for a year or two to kind of keep them in that playoff mix and potentially make a run, or would you rather have that high profile first round quarterback Or can you do both?
Yes, and yes. If you're throwing it to me, as a Colts fan, I understand and would be good with either scenario. I do think the Colts. It's tricky, Travis. I think the Colts roster is in pretty good shape. Super Bowl contender, not quite. Obviously, Andrew Luck retires. The Colts dealt with a lot of injuries. That's normal in the NFL. But I do think that the quarterback position and held them back. So I would be fine with a stopgap of Phillip Rivers for a couple years, depending on who they get. You know, the Colts pick 13th, so you take it from here. If you're 13th and you've got your eyes on a quarterback, it's not going to be Herbert, it's not going to be Tua, and it's not going to be Joe Burrow.
Right.
So it doesn't appear that the guy, not that there's no other
not
quarterbacks
another guy, but, you know,
in this class, so I would have no problem as a Colts fan if they could land Phillip Rivers one way or the other of doing it.
Yeah. He's getting older. He's still a good player. I think he's declining a little bit, but he's a better option in my mind than Jacoby Brissett. And that's nothing against Jacoby. I think he's a good football player as well, but Rivers has done it for longer and just has a better skill set there. So it's interesting.
What about Teddy Bridgewater? What's the latest there?
Now that
he's a hot commodity, and rightfully so.
Yeah, that I've not seen his name linked to any rumors. You know, just different Twitter folks that I follow and stuff. You can kind of see some of this stuff through the grapevine. He would be a much better option, I think, because one, he lit it up when Breeze was out with an injury. He's younger, and maybe you can get more out of him than an aging Phillip Rivers.
And I agree with you, and I don't think there's 32 quarterbacks better than Teddy Bridgewater. I think Teddy Bridgewater is one of the best 32 quarterbacks, and so is Phillip Rivers, but I just didn't know, not necessarily the Colts, if there was any, you know, rumors out there about Teddy Bridgewater landing somewhere where he could start, because he certainly earned
Tom Brady?
Earned that opportunity.
Any chance for Brady to
I've got Tom Brady going back to the Patriots. I have no basis or information sitting here in Lawrenceburg, Indiana, but I just can't picture Tom Brady playing for anybody but the Patriots.
I can't either. If he does, I think the Chargers or Raiders would be one of the front runners to land him. One more thing. Have you got a chance to watch any of the XFL action? Do you like some of the rules, if you have got to see it, that might translate well to the NFL? Or college game, for that matter.
I watched half an hour yesterday afternoon, so didn't go out of my way to watch much of it. Do I like some of the rules? Yes. Do I like them transferring to the NFL? No. And first of all, I don't think they will. I think the NFL, if it comes to it, would be too prideful to say, that's a good idea, we'll take that from the XFL. I just can't see the NFL ever doing that. But I think for the XFL, what they're trying to do makes a lot of sense. The all access or more access on the field, and the 1-2-3 after the touchdowns makes for interesting late game strategy, or whole game strategy for that matter. So I think I'm going to answer your question with a yes. I like some of the rules, but I don't see the NFL stealing them.
I think they should adopt the kickoff rule, where they have the kickoff team start down the field. It keeps it safer, and you can keep that important part of the game there, because it seems like the NFL is trying to trend away from kickoff. So I'd like to see that, and also the transparency with replays up in the booth. I think that's fantastic.
That was neat.
I would love to see that at the college and NFL levels there. So
the small sample size I watched yesterday, I saw a couple times when they went to the booth, and it was really, really neat.
Well, when I sat at home, I watched a college or an NFL game, sometimes I feel like my team's getting gypped when I don't get to hear the explanation why they chose to call something some way. In the replay booth, we don't get that transparency. They just kind of give you the call and where the ball's getting spotted, they move on.
And what about the game I watched was Bob Stoops on the sidelines for
I believe that's the Dallas team.
Team, yeah.
Yeah, so I've been watching D.C. because Cardale Jones, the national championship-winning quarterback from Ohio State's got them to 2-0. He remains undefeated as a starting quarterback. So let's get off
I bet Bob Stoops is having the time of his life. I bet he had the time of his life at Oklahoma, but now he's there. He doesn't have to recruit year-round. Yeah. He's probably got less administrative hoops there than the NCAA,
and he's just coaching the game he loves.
Doesn't have to meet with boosters and keep everybody happy. I bet he's having the time of his life.
I would hope so. He's probably getting paid pretty handsomely to do that job as well. So we will move on into some high school sports. I know this is what most people tune into the show to listen to, and there was plenty of stuff going on over the weekend. I think the big thing, or one of the big things, was the continuation of the girls basketball state tournament. What a run for East Central. Wow, just an amazing year, a record year for the team. 23 wins was a school record, made it all the way to the final eight. And I actually watched some of the game on Saturday night, and they led a good majority of that game. And there was about a 2 or 3 minute stretch, and I think Coach Moore even talked about this on his Twitter page, that the game kind of got away from him, but gave all the credit to Bedford North Lawrence for making the plays down the stretch and winning a close contest.
Yeah, and Coach Moore and those girls, congratulations. We followed them really for the whole 2 years this show's been on the air, and rightfully so. They've visited, what, 3 times over the past 2 years?
Yeah, so, and they've been here twice in the last so many weeks.
So congratulations to them. Great group of ladies. He's got a program. They lose a couple really good seniors, but they'll be right back next year. But, yeah, you just feel as proud as you are for East Central. Your heart kind of goes out for them, too, because they're right there in one of the most competitive regionals in the state. And, you know, I don't know what the numbers are. I know Lawrence North up in Indianapolis and Northwestern has an undefeated season. I think they're up by Kokomo. But if you're that competitive in that regional, you don't luck into that. That's one of the best regionals in the state, and you're right there knocking on the door, winning that thing. And I mean, you know, you end the season as a legit state contender. But as is the deepest run in the history of East Central, and well deserved success for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this is a season all those young ladies are going to remember for the rest of their lives. And we talk about how competitive they were in the regional, but it was no cakewalk getting through their sectional. They had to beat three top 30 teams just to win that sectional and advance on, get all the way to the final eight. And it stings from obviously their standpoint because they're the ones living it, but from a fan standpoint, it stings too, because you're thinking, looking at the Sagarin ratings and everything, the winner of that regional was going to have a pretty good shot of getting to that state championship game, which would have been quite something to see. But what a run.
Well, and just like you said, that sectional too, let alone that regional, you know, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but it's definitely one of the toughest sectionals in the state. So, I mean, you don't luck into any sectional championship, but especially not if you're East Central. We all know that, given that they've got a butt heads with the Bloomingtons and the Columbus in postseason play.
All right, we're going to come back to East Central in just a moment, but I do want to touch on Jackson Dell making it to their regional as well. They did fall in that first game of the regional to Greenwood Christian, 61-49. So they finished their season 21-5, won the ORVC, and JP, Jackson Dell has won 12 straight sectionals.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And you know, on the boys' side, I've been on the wrong end of watching Greensburg winning 7 in a row before Batesville snapped their streak last year. And it's easy for somebody on the outside to talk about how much more talented they are, but it's not that easy. I mean, you know, I've seen all 7 of Greensburg's state or sectional championships up close and personal. Yeah, there were a couple years when they won those states where they just steamrolled through it. But sectionals aren't easy, even if you are the most talented team, which Greensburg was in most of the ones when they won their 7 in a row. And Jacksonville probably was, mm-hmm. too, but that doesn't make it easy. You're getting everybody's best shot. You know, coaches can say that they game plan the same for every team, but when you're playing Jacksonville in that sectional and you're the ones trying to break the streak of 6, 7, 8, 9, yeah. 10, 11, you're preparing extra. And I just think about all the times Greensburg was on the ropes in their sectional run of 7 straight, you know, and we kind of had them on the ropes 1 year and everybody took their turn having them on the ropes, and just how much respect I garnered for them. And now you take that number 7 and add 5 to it,
yeah.
and nearly double it. That's where I was going with that, bringing up Greensburg, is like, I've seen that up close and personal and have such a tremendous amount of respect for it. Plus 5,
I mean, is unbelievable. To put it in perspective a little bit more, the first of those 12 consecutive, I was almost still in high school at that point. That's right. How long ago it was. So it's been a very impressive run for the Jacksonville Lady Eagles. I'm sure they'll put themselves right back in a similar situation going into next year. I want to get back to East Central, though, because every year the Hoosier Basketball Magazine puts out their top 100 senior girls. They'll do the same with the boys once the season's over, I do believe. But four of our local stars here have made that top 100 senior girls list, and one of those girls is Brylan McCorry, who, of course, was the point guard on the East Central's team, leading them to the regional final. We also have Juliana Kemper from Lawrenceburg, Kirsten Bond from South Dearborn, and Aaliyah Thomas from Switzerland County. And three of those four girls are actually the all-time leading scorer in their school's history, so that's pretty impressive.
Well, and that's not even mentioning anybody from your sectional champion, Jacksonville, and then the sectional champion in 3A, Greensburg. So four of the top 100 right in our pocket, without mentioning two of the three sectional champions. It was another good year for girls hoops down here.
Yeah, no, I'd be remiss if I didn't say this about Brylan McCorry, because she was the one girl that is not the all-time leading scorer at East Central, but she did a whole lot of different things other than scoring, as did the other three girls. But she is the all-time leader for three-point makes with 104, so I did want to sneak
good
in that
her.
Little tidbit there. So congratulations to those four girls, and hopefully all four of them will make the list when they whittle it down to the top 60 senior girls, and the top 60 will be invited to a special workout on Sunday, March 8th at Heritage Christian High School in the Indianapolis area. So hopefully all four will get the chance to do that. So sticking with high school sports, it was the wrestling semi-state over the weekend. A good majority of our local wrestlers were at the Newcastle semi-state. There was a couple from Switzerland County that had to go to Evansville Wrights, but only a handful making it through to state. I think I was a little surprised that that number wasn't greater, because we had a lot of great wrestlers here locally this year, but still an impressive run for a lot of guys, and three was my count that are going to go on to the state championship this weekend in Indianapolis.
Yeah, start locally here, you know, and selfishly for me, teaching at Lawrenceburg, Andrew Roth moves on in the 160-pound weight class.
Yes.
He finished second at semi-state, and couldn't happen to a better kid. He's an outstanding young man and student, and obviously wrestler, and had a really good football career, too. And then your other two that you're referring to, both Trojans, right, Travis?
Yes.
Briar Hall and Cole Veal, mm-hmm. in 152 and 182, respectively. So
yeah, so East Central is actually coming off a regional championship, so their whole team was competing at semi-state. They finished seventh overall, and had those two young men moving forward. Briar Hall, first loss in the championship there, this semi-state, and I believe Cole Veal's only lost a handful of times. And I do want to point out Andrew Roth too as well, because I had the fortune to go over to Lawrenceburg High School prior to the season starting, talked to Coach Shepard and some of his top wrestlers there. Andrew was one of them, and he even told me preseason that his goal was to get back to the state round and see if he could make a little bit of a run. So kudos to him to having a goal, setting it, and achieving it. That's pretty awesome.
Yep, not shocked at all with Andrew. He's a great kid and a hard worker.
All right, so we got about 5-6 minutes left here in the program. It is Crunch Time, presented by Geppers Liberty Tax in Lawrenceburg and Harrison. See them this tax season. $50 cash now with your paid tax preparation. And last week we got a chance to sit down and talk about the upcoming Coaches versus Cancer Night, Lawrenceburg versus South Dearborn. Plenty of publicity there, but it doesn't hurt to talk about it more, because it's such a great cause. I want to know where we're at fundraising-wise, if you can give that total or at least give us a ballpark.
Yep, game week is here, so hopefully everybody's planning on coming out to the game Friday night. Fundraising-wise, Travis, it's been awesome. It's been overwhelming in a good way. That GoFundMe that we put online there for Coach Reinhardt and I to wear the colorful suits raised $3,900. That by itself, and then our profit off the T-shirt sales through Ohio Valley is going to be about $4,300. So we're over $8,000.
Wow.
just with those two initiatives. And so I think we're well on our way to meeting the goal of sending the biggest Coaches versus Cancer check from an Indiana high school game, because we've still got three things on tap this week with the student bodies going head-to-head with just an old school donation drive at lunch. We've got the alumni game Thursday night, where we've got a deep roster of South Dearborn and Lawrenceburg alums. And, that's all. If you're coming out Thursday night at 7, it's $5 to get in here at Lawrenceburg High School. all the revenue goes gets rolled into the cause. We don't have an expense. We don't have to pay for the gym with it being, you know, a school function. And we've got volunteer refs and clock keepers, and it might be me out there refing. So double T, don't get lippy on any calls.
Yeah, you can come out and see double T try to remember how to play basketball.
There's some young guys. I saw the rosters, Travis. There's some young guys in there. That class of 06 next to your name.
At one point.
You got some guys running that are a lot younger than you.
At one point, I was the oldest guy on the Lawrenceburg roster, but we've added a couple guys that are a little older than me.
So a little older than you, but they can play. You talking about Sean?
Sean and Aaron.
Sean Thomas, Aaron Cornett,
yeah,
I saw on the roster.
Oh, age has nothing to do with it. I'm just glad I'm not the old man.
Right,
no,
I understand. But that's going to be Thursday night at 7, $5 to get in. And then the other thing we got going before the game, Friday from 5:30 to 6:30, we'll have a barbecue supper. JTM has donated the majority of the food. There's an email on the website for Mason Jeffrey's email address if you want to book a table there, because it's a limited number of seats being in the high school cafeteria. Hopefully we'll have a packed house. And if you did not order the shirt that was part of the fundraiser and you're coming to the game, we'd love to have Tiger fans in orange and Knight fans in red. And I think it'll be a pretty neat scene Friday night.
And did I see on the Lawrenceburg Tigers basketball Twitter that those shirts are available for pickup starting tomorrow? Is that correct?
They are. So anybody who ordered, when you ordered online, you had to pick where you wanted to pick yours up during business hours, Lawrenceburg High School, Ohio Valley, or South Dearborn. And I got the email from Scott and Vicky Facemeyer at Ohio Valley saying that they are ready to be picked up. So if you're a listener and you ordered a shirt, you've got till close of business Friday to pick it up at whatever location you chose.
All right. I want to talk a little bit about attire, because you mentioned the jackets, the suits you and Coach Reinhardt are going to wear. I caught up with Coach Reinhardt on Friday night. We covered their game against South Ripley. And, he showed me the shoes he's going to be wearing on Friday night. He's got some red shoes lined up.
He's got some shoe game. He didn't tell me about that.
I
bought his suit. Well, I mean, we bought him together, but I did the order and took him to the dry cleaners. He picked him up from me last week, and he's going to sneak a little shoe game in there on me.
Oh, yeah. Coach is going to be looking sharp over there.
Well, okay. Thanks for that heads up, Double T. You know, the principal of Lawrenceburg High School used to coach some hoops. I'm not sure. And he had some pretty unique shoe game, Mr. Bill Schneider. I'm not sure. I've never concerned myself with my shoe size compared to my boss's, but if you know what I'm talking about, he's been known to coach a game or two in orange boots. So,
well, I hope I didn't let the cat out of the bag for Coach Reinhardt, but I just thought it would be cool to pass that along. I myself have a little something up my sleeve for the alumni game on Thursday in terms of warm up attire. So I hope everybody's going to get a kick out of that.
Let me say this, Double T. Kevin and I talked about this at the Rivertown, and it's been really, really neat. It's taken so many people to make it happen, and I think we're gonna blow by $10,000 through all our initiatives and send something up there, you know, between 12, 15, maybe even more than $15,000 to support the never-ending fight against cancer. But between the administration at Lawrenceburg, the administration at South Dearborn, Ohio Valley is donating all the profit. Ohio Valley Screen Printing is not making a penny off the T-shirts. Mm-hmm. They're getting some free advertising out of it. They got their logo on the back, and rightfully so.
Sure.
All the profit. JTM was able to donate about 80 or 90% of the food for free. You know, and again, that just allows us to keep it on the revenue. You guys here at Eagle and SEI and the paper, you know, promoting it and getting it out there. Our student council, Lawrenceburg, is going to have a big role in Friday night making everything happen. So it's taken a lot of people. And then that's not even mentioning the people who have contributed financially. It's taken a lot of people to do this. And I couldn't be more grateful and excited about it.
Yeah, I think it's awesome that the two communities are coming together to do something really awesome. And then on Friday night, we can kind of all pack the gym at Lawrenceburg High School as the Tigers face off with the South Dearborn Knights. It's always fun when those two teams get together. I think there is of course it's a rivalry, but there's a mutual respect there, and I think it's going to be awesome. And we are going to be broadcasting that game live this Friday. Myself and Head Coach Ryan Kanega will be on the call. Hopefully he doesn't get a pie to the face at halftime, or, maybe some people would like to see that. But one way or another, it's going to be a really great week, and it's all going to culminate on Friday. So we're looking forward to being a part of it.
Yep, sounds good, and I'm looking forward to it as well. And you know, if you haven't been to a game yet, this is the one to come to. It's a rivalry game. We're raising money for a great cause. There will be donation buckets sent around the crowd at the end of the first quarter, and by now, a lot of the people that are at the game, you know, have already contributed through all the different stuff. But, you know, heck, if everybody there throws 50 cents or a buck in, that's, you know, another $1,000 or $1,500 on top of it. So we're excited about it, and I know our players are too.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to wrap up here. This has been another edition of Crunch Time presented by Geppers Liberty Tax in Lawrenceburg and Harrison. And as you heard it, get out to Lawrenceburg High School this Friday night as the Tigers host the South Dearborn Knights Coaches versus Cancer Night. It's going to be a great night at Lawrenceburg, and we'll continue to preview that throughout the week. So, that's where we're at. And if you ever want to listen to past episodes of Crunch Time, you can find all those great episodes at EagleCountryOnline.com. So long and good night.